Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Beautiful friend we have in Jesus. Okay, let's open the scriptures to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Okay, that's fine. We're not ready. All right, let's first of all talk about prayer. And we need to be in prayer for Tisha's recovery. I haven't talked with her since she saw the doctor today. What's today's report from the doctor? Oh, that's bad news. Good. Well, we'll continue to pray that it heal and continue to get better. Good. And the jury will have to double up on the chocolate. And need to be in prayer for Nathan and Bill Hess, Donald Wise, and those men. And, let's see, what other prayer requests do we have tonight? Anything urgent? Okay. Well, then let's begin with a word of prayer and get into our study. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to assemble together tonight, open up the scriptures, worship together, fellowship together in your word. Pray your spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Tonight, Jim and Anel and Judith and I met with Livia, and we talked about her classes. She'll be teaching some doctoral students and some master students, and then about 40 undergraduate students. And the main kind of thing that we talked about was facing death. And one of the most wonderful things about facing death is when you know what's going to happen as soon as you die. Then it becomes an exciting journey. Otherwise, it would be a fearful one. And one of the things that makes it exciting for us is looking at Revelation 21 and 22 in regard to the eternal state, what we can anticipate, what's going to be there. So that's the section that we are now in our study. We start tonight in verse 11 with a description of the heavenly eternal Jerusalem. And just to get the momentum going now, we know from verse 2 that this is a new Jerusalem. It is a heavenly Jerusalem. We know from verse 3 that God will reside there, and that ought to be enough. But now we start a description of this heavenly eternal Jerusalem. And A, we have its glory, verse 11. B, its design, verses 12 through 14. C, we're even told its measurements, verses 15 through 17. D, its material, 18 through 21. So we have this, and then E, its light. What is going to be its source of light? Verses 22 and 23. And then F, the New Jerusalem and the nations that are on earth, 24 through 27. So let's begin tonight. Let's get right into it. Chapter 21, verse 11. And let's read verse 11 together and then go into it. We'll begin the sentence in verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit, and we spent some time on in the Spirit, to a great and high mountain, as opposed to the wilderness for looking at Babylon, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now tonight, we begin verse 11, it's glory. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Okay. One thing I just want to talk to you about in that verse 11, if you'll note, it talks about, it uses the feminine, her. Her. Her brilliance. And you'll recall that he said, I think it's in verse 3, this is the bride of Christ will be. So it's talking about the city of Jerusalem. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Just as, just in that same category, as, not that this is the bride, but as a bride. And here we have her referring to the city of Jerusalem, keeping with the feminine motif. Okay, having the glory of God. Well, why not? Remember, God will dwell there. He will dwell there with His Son. So, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He, God, will dwell among them. They shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. So why wouldn't His glory, the brilliance of His glory, be there? So having the glory of God, her brilliance, having the glory of God, then it says her brilliance. The Greek word is photer, and photer comes from phos, and phos is the root of light, different words for light. So light, or light-giving, a luminary. This is the splendor of the presence of God Himself, the Shekinah glory in the eternal Jerusalem. So this is the Shekinah glory and the heavenly glory of God in the new Jerusalem. Now, apparently, and I'm half serious, half funny, serious. Every now and then I'll say things, and Judith just looks at me, and I say, well, it was an attempt to be whimsical. And she goes, it wasn't funny. But the thing here is, apparently, our resurrected body will not need to sleep. I mean, it's just going to be what we would say 24 hours. There'll be no time frame in heaven. But there'll be light the whole time. So, or we will be able to sleep easily in light. One or the other has to be true. And I suppose that we will not need any sleep, because sleep does a lot of things related to the earth. We will not need that in heaven. For this brilliant light will shine all the time, His brilliance and glory. And so God's presence will illuminate Jerusalem and all of the universe. Okay, another point of interest here. Having the glory of God, her brilliance. Now, the Gospel of John, don't need to turn there, but I'll read it to you. Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 5. While I am in the world, Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. But in the eternal state, He will be in the new Jerusalem. Therefore, He will be the light of the whole universe, not only of Jerusalem itself. And it's just an amazing thing. I almost got way off on a sidetrack here, going back ancient history and all, but scientists are still learning a great deal about light. Something as simple as X-rays and let scientists know even more about light and the breaking the sound barrier and all these things. We're still learning a great deal about light. So if you will, let's open your Bibles to Isaiah 60. Isaiah chapter 60. What is heaven like? Heaven for us will be in the New Jerusalem, and it will be His glory and a brilliance of His glory. His light will be there. And So let's look at Isaiah 60, verse 19. Isaiah 60, verse 19 and 20. Okay, verse 19. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light. You will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Verse 20, your sun will set no more, neither will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be finished. So there'll be no sun, there'll be no moon, there'll be no need of them. So their God will be the light as far as the world is concerned. The brilliance of the glory of God really started, as far as Scripture is concerned, in the wilderness journey. Look with me at Exodus 40 a moment. Exodus 40. I was so impressed at camp, the campers, well, they had their Bibles. That was good. They came to class, the Bible studies with their Bibles, and some of them use the table of content, but they had their Bibles, and I even talked to them and said, let me tell you about the table of content, and we talked about that and gave them my spiel that that's the most important book, a page in any book and all that stuff, but I think I just right over the head. But let's look at Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Only now it's going to fill the whole city of the new city of Jerusalem. Okay, let's go back now to chapter Revelation 21. In verse 11, having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Now, God uses beautiful stones that we're familiar with to describe aspects of the beauty of this great city of Jerusalem, just as he did in Revelation 4. In describing the throne of God. But note here that we are not told exactly what kind of stone, only that it looks like jasper. The interesting thing about this is that jasper is for the first stone mentioned in the breastplate of the high priest. And jasper is a translucent like diamond and is the symbol throughout Scripture of purity, even of holiness. And so that's what we have with that. Jesus Christ, by the way, dealing with Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And on Wednesday night, we're studying the great hate section of Scripture, how the world hates us. Look for a moment at the Gospel of John 8, just for a moment, with this in mind. John 8. These are the kinds of things if we were rushing through, we wouldn't have time for, but we have time for it. So let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, because it's what we're studying on Wednesday night. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I want you to look, I'll read for you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So now we come, why does the world hate us? The world hates us. See, they hated Jesus Christ because he was the light of the world, and since his departure, he comes into those who walk in the power of the Spirit, and that light shines through us, and during his absence, and therefore the world hates us. that hated him because he was the light of the world. If we walk in the Spirit, the light of Christ shines through, and therefore the world hates us. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 a moment. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, let's look at verse, 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Now with that, add Philippians 2. If you're writing it down, we're going to look at verse 15. Philippians 2:15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. "That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear," or shine is the Greek word, "as lights," or luminaries, "in the world." Now, I think there are many Christians, more Christians than one would think, from the dimness of the light of Christ, especially in America, but probably in the whole world. I think there are more Christians than the light that we see. The church, the body of Christ, should be the light of the world. The church, or the body of Christ, should be the salt of the earth. But today, the earth, especially in America, is getting darker and darker. And very little can really grow in that kind of environment. Today, the earth is without salt. And we know that salt is vital to health and to the function of our bodies. From just the cardiovascular system to the cooling system to all the systems of the body, if you think of that concept in society as a body, then you realize what happens to the body without salt. And this is the earth without the salt of the body of Christ when we are divorced of that salt. So if you just take your own body, if I don't give it salt, what's going to happen? Well, that's what happens in all of society. But in the eternal Jerusalem, God and Jesus Christ will be the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, divine light with His presence. And with His departure from earth, however, therefore the need arose, and that's why He gave the Holy Spirit, that we might be the light. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21. We're now ready for verses 12 through 14. 12 through 14, it's design. Revelation 21, and let's read verses 12 through 14 just to get a feel of the design. "It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 gates in the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the walls of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Okay, let's get to work on verse 12. See what we have going on here. "It had a great and high wall." Okay, we have the same words for great and high as in verse 10 describing the mountain. Now it's describing the wall. We are so used to having walls for protection and safety. But there will be no need of safety and protection in the eternal state. There'll be no enemy. So then why do we have the walls? The walls serve as part of the structural beauty of the heavenly Jerusalem. It is not for protection. It's not for safety. It's part of the structural beauty of the heavenly, the eternal Jerusalem. Then it says, with 12 gates. Okay, community, the world, those that are on earth will enter in and go out. So we have the entrance together, the exit. And at the gates, 12 angels. Someone pointed out when I was working on this that Peter will not be at the gate. You know all the jokes, go to heaven and Peter will be there. Well, it won't be Peter. It'll be an angel be standing there. Angels, what? Become the servants of God in the eternal state. In fact, we know that this heavenly eternal Jerusalem will have multiple angels in it for the purpose of service. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, Hebrews, I got to find it. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's read together 22 and 23. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23, 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the one we're studying. And the myriads of angels. Okay, so there are a multitude of angels in this heavenly Jerusalem. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's us, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Those are the saints of the church. So there will be, they got the 12 angels around these gates, but the whole city is going to be have myriads of angels for the purpose of serving him. Okay, now I continue back to Revelation 21, verse 12. And the names were written on them, which are those names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Okay. Now, let's just first of all clear up one thing. The names won't be on the angels. The name will be on the gates. Okay? So you got the 12 gates, and at the gates, the 12 angels, and it says, and the names are written on them. Them goes back to the gates, not to the angels. A constant reminder that Jerusalem was God's chosen city of Jerusalem, for Israel. So we have the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Okay? That is a reminder for all eternity that Jerusalem was chosen as the city for Israel. It's not a city for the Muslims. Don't care what anybody says. Israel has always been chosen for God, of God. Excuse me, Jerusalem has always... Israel has been chosen of God. Jerusalem has been chosen of God. And governments and people may try to take it away, stop them from having their nation there, but in eternal state, it'll be there. Okay, names. Okay, names are very important throughout the history, throughout all history. But especially in the book of Revelation, the word names appears 37 times in the book of Revelation itself. It is used in reference to the names of Jesus Christ. It is used in as a blessing in eternity for believers. It is used as a mystery name of Jesus Christ. It is used as blasphemous names by the beast in Revelation 17. Names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we have the importance of names. Names gives you identification and knowledge, intimate knowledge. If you knew the names of someone's God, you had that intimate knowledge throughout history. One of the first things we ask, what's her name as a guy? What's her name? What's his name? What the name, that begin point of identification. Verse 13. very quickly, we can handle verse 13. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the west. The city will have four walls, three gates on each side, as the camp of Israel when they were traveling had. The point here is it is going to be beautiful, perfect symmetry, perfect harmony. It escapes our notice, but man's appreciation of symmetry is by God's design. Color, form, harmony. We all love a graceful form. I should have put it on the PowerPoint. I just got an email this week of the oddest shaped buildings, the 10 oddest shaped buildings in the world. And did you see that? And I mean, some of them were just unbelievable. As you go, but we love symmetry. People, that's by God's design. And it's going to be in eternity that we'll have that symmetry. Right, verse 14. Continues describing the design. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. And on them were 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. And let's read together verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So we have the, and by the way, he chose the Apostle Paul. Paul will have a gate with his name on it. So we have the combination of Israel because of the names of the 12 tribes, and we'll have the church, the 12 apostles, and in Ephesians, remember it says he brings the two into one. Brings the church and the Jews into one, and during the church age. This will be a picture of what's going on in heaven. Now, exactly how these 12 foundation stones are placed, we're not told. We're not told. So I'm not going to tell you the way we know. Some think they are columns touching the city with the earth. And others, they lie beneath the city supporting foundations. But we're simply not told how these foundation stones are placed. Interesting to look at the foundation of the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with this in mind. Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 20 through 22. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. We'll begin with a sentence in verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple to the Lord, to whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So, go back now to Revelation 21. The wall seems to be broken into 12 sections, and by the 12 gates, and each section seems to rest on a foundation stone. That's the best that I can come up with in that regard of just the flow of the reading here. Again, by all indications, both Israel and the church, as the bride and the Lamb, will occupy this new Jerusalem. What is interesting is that even though Israel and the church are in God's redeemed, they are yet still distinguished. You have the 12 gates of the Israel, 12 stones of the church. So I found that interesting. All right, verses 15 through 17. Well, we're just moving along here. Wham, wham, wham. Verses 15 through 17, it's measurements. It's measurements. This is not about safety. It's not about security. This is about form and beauty. And as we read through this, notice some things that are presupposed. So let's read it, and then we'll go through and note some things that are presupposed, the makeup of man on earth throughout history and in eternity. We dwell in structures. We care about the way they look. Not until I married it, I realized I didn't care enough. I thought I did, but I didn't. And now I do. See? Well, I do sometime. So, but we do care. We care. As we drive up and we think about buying, first thing, how do I feel about the way this place looks? How do I just feel about it that way? How does it look and all that? Then we go inside and we care. We dwell in structures. We care about how they look. We live in a world of designs, squares, circles, triangles. Well, all this will be in eternity. And people, we're going to appreciate this for all eternity. See, where do you think all this originated? With man? No, it didn't originate with man. But with God in the design and creation of man. Symmetry, design, music, sound, lights, all of these. We just like a grace look in this area. I love to watch ice skate dancing. They're just the beauty, the gracefulness as they glide across the ice. It's just beautiful. All right, what will heavenly Jerusalem be like? Well, one thing, it'll be symmetrically beautiful, pleasing to the eye. Okay, let's read verses 15 through 17 just to get us oriented to this. Revelation 21:15. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with a rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are all equal. It's a square of 1,500 miles. All right, verse 17. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic. Okay, let's look back at verse 15 now. And the one who spoke with me, the angel who spoke with me, had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And an architect loves to talk about the measurements and the design. It's also been included here by God. And in archaeology, they measure the various buildings that they find. And so this is what we have here. That a measuring rod in the first century, in the Roman Empire, John's time, was approximately 10 feet. That would be one rod, would be approximately 10 feet. Okay, verse 16. And the city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles approximately. Its length and width and height are equal. Perfect symmetry. Perfect symmetry matters to God. The holy city will be phenomenal. Okay? Now, that fun got on the internet, and let me show you just some ideas of this. First of all, there is, just putting it in terms of Dallas, Texas. So if you look here, where's my little pointer? Anyway, you can see this would be how this city would, much of the United States it would take. Just the one way, it'd be 1,500 miles up. But 1,500 miles, you see Dallas there, little blurb, but Dallas, all the way over near the edge of Texas, all the way up, almost over to New York and back down. So that gives you a feel of how big the city's going to be. And then another map. By the way, these are all maps that were on an internet type of thing. So now this one takes the same, they're from the Dallas area and goes all the way over to California, up to Canada, down to Mexico, and it gives you that, if you want to look at it that way. That's how big the city's going to be. It's going to be, and as big as it is, you go from the corner of Dallas all the way up to Washington, that's going to be how high it is, the width and depth of it. So, and we might as well go ahead and take care of some of these pictures that I got since we've read the passage. This is one rendition of it, how it's coming down toward the earth. And we'll see how it's the gold and the way that it's made. And this is another, well, it didn't come out very well, but that's another rendition. You can see the gates on this one, and on the bottom end there, see the three gates on each side. And this is another one. And in a moment, it'll talk about the street of gold, and people wonder about streets, and the plural, and here it's a singular. And they have this one street, and it just weaves all around up there, through there. And there's another one. And you see the road, the street is winding around through the whole deal. So we'll talk about the street as we get to it. This gives you some various ideas from people in regard. Now, I was telling about the 12 foundation stones. This is one guy. He thinks it's going to be, the stones will be put up like that, and that's how it will stand. I don't believe so. But that's his ideal. I'm just giving you, because we don't know. This may be absolutely correct. We just are not told. But be that as it may, there's that rendition of it. And well, we'll get to those later when we come to that passage. Okay, that just gives you an ideal of what it might look like. Okay, let's look at verse 16. And it's going to have perfect symmetry. And as I said, it gives you an idea of how it covers from Dallas to New York and all of that. Now, if you think God doesn't care about design, think of the details that were given here. But this has long been a grace, a symmetrical design by God. Now, first of all, I'd like you to look back at Exodus 30. This has always been a symmetrical design by God, a perfect square. Exodus 30. And look with me at verse, chapter 30, verse 1. Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense, and you shall make it of acacia wood. That's the speaking of the humanity of Christ. Its length shall be a cubit, and its width a cubit. It shall be square, and its height shall be two cubits. Its horns shall be of one piece with it. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, there's the deity of Christ, its top and its sides all around, and its horns, and you shall make a gold molding all around it. So every time you look at the eternal Jerusalem, you will forever see the reminder of the ark, of the altar of the Old Testament. Secondly, that's just showing you the going through it. So first of all, the ark, now or the altar. Now secondly, the breastplate of the high priest is perfect square. Yes. A cubit is approximately 15 inches. Approximately. Let's see. The breastplate of the high priest. Let's look at Exodus 18. Excuse me, 28. Exodus 28. So first of all, the altar has that symmetry. And now secondly, the breastplate of the high priest. So what I'm showing you is God's always cared about these things. Exodus 28:16. It shall be a square. and folded double, a span in length and a span in width. So first of all, the altar. Second of all, the breastplate. Three, the millennial temple. The temple in the millennium. Look at Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. Just, we're learning about God here. Learning some things about God. God cares about symmetry, design. Exodus 43. Excuse me, not Exodus, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 43. Now, if Steve were here, we'd talk about symmetry and design of a woman, but since he's not here, we'll let that go. We'll just pass right on over that. But here we have Ezekiel 43:16. 43:16. Now, the altar hearth shall be 12 cubits long by 12 wide, a square in its four sides. The temple in the millennium. The fourth, the division of the land in the millennial kingdom. The division of the land in the millennial kingdom shall be symmetrical. Ezekiel 48, and we'll read together verse 16. Ezekiel 48:16. And these shall be its measurement. The north side, 4,500 cubits. The south side, 4,500 cubits. The east side, 4,500 cubits. And the west side, 4,500 cubits. And he repeats it each time. He doesn't just say one time. This is exact to God. He cares about design. Fifth, first the altar, secondly the breastplate, three, the millennial temple. Four, the divisions of the land in the millennial kingdom. And five, just for the record, I was very interested when I came across this. Secular man has long thought that perfect square was a symbol of perfection. Man has long thought that. Aristotle, in his dissertation on ethics, used an example of the perfect four for four square thinking. Perfect thinking. Perfect logical thinking. Four square thinking. And Aristotle dealt with that a little briefly in his dissertation on ethics. So man has long thought of this four square, the perfect square, as logical. And then sixth, couldn't come up with a seventh, sixth, Revelation 21:16, the city is laid out according to its length, width, and height. Length, width, and height. With that in mind, look at Ephesians 3:18, describing the love of God. So that Christ, Ephesians 3:18, so that Christ, I guess I'll start in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of his love, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. We had a meeting at camp, very brief one, and came up next year. Chris would check out, see the dates, that we might be able to get the same place if we wanted it. And then we talked about what would be the subject, and boy, I put my hand up first. I said, spiritual love. That's what we need. These kids need to know that God loves them and how to love one another. And it just sort of passed unanimously. Okay, that's it. But to me, that is so essential for them as a child to learn that. Love one another as he loved us, and then how did he love us? But here, note that his love is by the breadth, length, height, and depth, the square, the perfect dimension of his love. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21. Verse 17. Boy, we're just moving along. Love it. Verse 17. Don't know if we can handle moving this fast. All right, verse 17. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurement, which are also angelic measurements. Now, when you think of 72 yards, the best thing I can do is just think of a football field. And that'd give you an idea of how far we're talking about. 72 yards. Now, here's the kicker. As to whether this refers to the height, 72 yards, or the thickness is again not clear. It's simply not clear. And the point here is, it could have been made clear if God wanted it clear, because I want you to look at Deuteronomy 3:5. Deuteronomy 3:5. Deuteronomy 3:5, where we're talking about high, how high the walls are. Look at Deuteronomy 3, verse 5. All these were cities fortified with high walls, gates and bars, besides a great many unwalled towns. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:52. And it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls. So here we're talking about height. Fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout your land, and it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land with the Lord your God has given you. Okay, talking about how high. Their passage talk about thickness. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. And let's look at 58. Jeremiah 51:58. Thus says the Lord of hosts. The broad wall, so here we're talking about the thickness, wall of Babylon will be completely raised, and her high gates will be set on fire, so the peoples will toil for nothing, and the nations become exhausted only for fire. So here we have passages that deal with high wall, thick wall, but here in Revelation 21:17, it says, measured its wall. Does not specify height or thickness. Now, that's of the city, not necessarily the wall. Well, actually, even if you take it that way, it would fall very short, but the thickness, so yeah, yeah, 1500 miles. So in fact, I have it written down here that if it is talking about the height of the wall, this would be a very small fraction of the 1500 miles of the city itself. But what is interesting is the closeness of the human race and the angelic realm and the measurement, but we'll come to that in a moment. So yeah, we think it's this way, the thickness, but it doesn't say. It doesn't tell us. And so we cannot not assume that. But what I found interesting, because it says here that this is all the human, but also angelic measurements. Now, angels also enjoy symmetry. We use the same measurements, angels and man. We're back in Revelation 21:17. according to human measurement, which are also angelic measurements. Angels also enjoy symmetry, and we can't even really get along in this world. I had fun looking on the internet, the metric system versus, and what do we call our system? And the best that I could come up officially was that it is called the inch system. And so all the world uses the metric system except Burma, Liberia, and the United States. They're the only three countries that use the inch system. Everybody else uses the metric system. But in eternal state, angels and humans will be in agreement on the system. So that we do know. We don't know what system it'll be, but they get along and recognize the same measuring system. All right. Okay, verses 18 through 21. 18 through 21. So let's read Revelation 21, 18 through 21. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. That's why in this one that I was showing you here, like there, it's the gold and the gold. It's what it looks like in that person's imagery. So, clear glass, verse 19. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper. And then he goes through and lists each one of these. And I want to spend some time in looking at some of these. So let's close. It's closed in time anyway. And then we'll just start with its material next Tuesday evening. Any questions on tonight? And like I said, I do want to kind of go through this rather quickly because it's just information that I try to bring in some things for you. But this is going to be what it looks like when we get there. And our home will be in somewhere in all of that conglomerate. Your place, your mansion, your quarters will be in that area. And it'll be of gold and all these type of wonderful things. So any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, Heavenly Father, can't wait to get into a new home. The way you describe it, just the entering of it, Father, its gates, its material, its foundation, all these things, Heavenly Father, just gives us great anticipation. Not any fear at all about death. Not any wonder about what's on the other side. You've even told us what our living quarters would be like. What an awesome God you are. And what an absolutely magnificent city this will be. And Father, we thank you for giving us this information that we can do away with any fear, worry, uncertainty, and go with enthusiasm, excitement, be able to see this new heavenly Jerusalem and then reside in it in a resurrected body. Father, we just praise you for all of this. In your Son's precious name. Amen.